Hello and welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. I hope everybody is having an absolutely fantastic day today. It's rainy down here in Florida, but we got another cold front coming in. It's about 60 degrees right now. It's supposed to be in the 40s tonight, which is exciting. And other than that, how are you doing today, Dad?
I'm blessed, Austin. It's a great day. We see here in Florida, when it drops into the 40s and the 50s at night, it's time to rejoice. I mean, we don't even turn our heaters on. You think, would you turn the heaters off? No. Well, number one, our houses are so well insulated because of the heat in the summer that they really maintain the temperature pretty well. And so if it gets down in the 50s in the house, I'm excited. I get to grab a doggone blanket and sleep like a baby at night and not have to think about waking up because it's too hot. And I love it. So Florida's kind of different. So when we get cold fronts down here and you hear us saying, hey, it's going to be great, we're getting a cold front, we kind of really mean that, unless you're from up north and you don't like it anything below 70. But it's been kind of warm here the last few days, so I'm excited about it. It's a little bit rainy today. I call it a good duck day. Ducks love the rain. So it's a beautiful day. But I've got some interesting stuff to talk to you about today. I had somebody send me a video from Malcolm X. Now, Malcolm X, Austin, you've probably never heard of the guy. He was a black activist, basically a Muslim man, back from the 60s, and he converted to become a Muslim. And very, very, very eloquent speaker. I mean, he wasn't one of these radical, screaming, name it, claim it, blab it, holler about it, you know, radicals. He was basically a really mild-mannered intellectual. That's a good way of putting it with him. And he scared the establishment to death to the point they had him assassinated. Same as, you know, Kennedy's, both the Kennedy brothers, you know, all these people were dying back in the 60s. And it's because the establishment couldn't control them, and they were not going along with the mainstream narrative, and they grabbed an audience. This is the problem that you have with Hollywood and people that suddenly suicide themselves in many cases. I'm not saying all of them, but in many cases, who all of a sudden they wake up and they still have a big platform. Or, you know, like the one guy last year, I forgot his name, the big black singer. He basically got hauled off and put into a rehab facility because he started talking about what was really going on at one of his concerts. What was his name, Austin? Do you remember his name? Was it? It wasn't Jay-Z.
Oh, Kanye West.
Kanye West, yeah. So whenever they start getting to the point where their programming starts to short out, they start having to be controlled, they're taken care of. And what happened with Malcolm X, I watched a video that was sent to me this morning. It was actually quite good. And he was talking on an interview, and very articulate guy. I never realized, because I never really listened to Malcolm X before in the 60s, you know, everybody was saying that he was basically a racist. And I'm not saying he wasn't a racist. I'm just saying that he was very articulate. And he started hammering the white liberal Democrats in the video and basically said that they were the ones that were controlling the black community in the narrative. And he likened it to this. He says, you know, he says, foxes like to eat lambs and wolves like to eat lambs, but everybody wants to eat the lamb. He goes, the black people are basically the lamb, and the foxes are the Democrats. They come into the lamb population, basically make friends with the lambs. Everybody thinks they're really a good guy, and then they destroy the lamb. He goes, the wolves, on the other hand, we call them, they would be the conservative Republicans. And they're telling you out front what they're planning on doing. He said they both have the same motive in mind, but the foxes are the worst, and they control the liberal arm of the Democratic Party, which he's absolutely right about. It's a little 5-minute interview, but I thought it was really good, and I really liked his analogies about this. Now, the reason I say this, Brad sent me an article this morning, an excellent one, and it said basically, white privilege doesn't mean anything. And that's the point. It's an article by Mark Bauerlein, Bauerlein. I'm going to read you part of it and let you understand what he's talking about here. If you're intimidated by a radically loaded term such as white, or excuse me, not a radically, a racially loaded term such as white privilege, as so many conservative leaders and commentators seem to be, then you don't belong in a position of power. A game is being played on you, and you simply don't understand the rules. In other words, he's saying white privilege doesn't describe a reality. It tells people how to behave. Let me be more specific. It tells white people how to behave, their first obligation being to acknowledge their own responsibility for injustice and inequality. When someone asks and talks about white privilege, he doesn't burden blacks or Hispanics or Asians with changing their ways. Only whites are affected. The moment someone utters white privilege, it sets all the white people in the room on the defensive. Only when whites join in the attribution of white privilege, which a lot of Hollywood people have done now, is because of white privilege, blah, 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 I'm acknowledging my white privilege, like Cortez said the other day, especially to themselves in a kind of show trial or struggle session confession, do they regain some integrity. The real meaning of white privilege is not to signify a social and historical condition, but to control a situation. It's controlling the narrative. You can see in Dyson's refusal to answer Peterson's questions in a specific interview they're talking about, if Dyson said something like, you owe 20% of your wealth to white privilege, and therefore you should donate it to black churches, black colleges, and the NAACP, Peterson would be able to engage the numbers and question the advice. He would be on the ground in which to argue the case. He would no longer be on the defensive. Better for Dyson and other white privileged talkers to remain vague and tell whites they must grapple with freedom and inequality, which is another fuzzy injunction that leaves even agreeable whites guessing, oh, what the heck does this mean? It is essential that conservatives, especially Republican politicians, understand white privilege is just this way as a power move, not a sincere idea. It is not designed to communicate facts. It is meant to stymie and to stigmatize opposition. In other words, what they're doing is they are controlling the narrative. They are allowing a group of people, the liberals, the feminists, the LGBT voices, the people basically who are on the far left of politics, to marginalize white people based on white privilege. And white privilege does the job well. Basically, it's systemic racism, another murky term. It retains the racism theme, which still frightens conservatives who worry about their respectability. And at the same time, it's nebulous and insinuating enough to keep the targets off balance. And he goes, it's time to stop playing along. The next time a conservative faces a white privilege point, they should take and not give one iota of credence. Instead, they should say, let's talk about something real. Like the number of African-American boys who've never lived with their father. Whoa. What happens to them? There you go. Or how about this? How about the fact that we have such a social quota now in the university systems that when you go to speak to the dean of the College of Law, a major university, which I'm not going to name any names, which exactly what happened, and I know about this personally, they tell you your acceptance doesn't mean anything because you're white and you have a 4.0 as far as into the College of Law. We take people based upon what we need for the school as far as GPA quotas and also our LSAT quotas to maintain our ranking as law schools. In other words, it's all about affirmative action and maintaining the rankings. This is absolutely nuts that a person who's excellently qualified for medical school or law school or engineering school or whatever can't get into these prospective universities because they're white. Are you joking me? If this thing was reversed and we had it towards blacks or Hispanics or towards Irish people or Indian people or anybody, all HG double sticks would break loose and people go, what the heck? Why are you doing this? I've busted my butt for 4 years of college, 2 years of graduate school. Now I'm applying to these graduate programs and I'm not being let in because I'm a white guy or a white girl or a white man. Are you joking me? What the heck? No. This is what this is all about. And this stuff was started back in the 60s and the 70s and the 80s and 90s. And even though Trump supposedly signed an executive order stopping all of this, it still goes on. Because quite frankly, they don't have to listen to his executive order at the university level. They do what they want to do. Because it's all based on their rankings and how they basically rank with their affirmative action policies. I mean, all of this stuff to me often is nauseating. So guys, when they tell you it's because of your white privilege, my response is the same thing I told my black friend a few years ago when he told me that I owed slave reparations. He says, you didn't own slaves, but you live in this country. Well, so do you, my friend. You live in this country too. And quite frankly, if you want to look at slavery, if you really want to take a look at slavery and what happened to slavery, let's take a look at slavery for a second. Number one, the black leaders in Africa sold their own people for slave bees and other trinkets, almost 100 million of them over 100 years, approximately over, well, it was more than that, it was hundreds of years. 100 million people were sold into slavery in Africa, from Africa into the United States. 10% of these people actually made it on the average, which about 90% died. It was so bad through Kenya that they actually have a trail there where the slaves were dropping dead on the trails, their bodies were left to rot, and animals came in and ate those people as they were dead, primarily lions, as they were dying, and they develop a taste for human blood. To this day, we're still in Kenya with the lions wanting to eat humans in certain areas because of the slave trade. In fact, a movie was done about this, but they neglected to talk about this, The Ghost in the Darkness, where one set of lions ate over 100 people because they were used to eating bodies from the slave trade. Fact. Watch the movie, do the research on it. In addition to that, the ships would come from Africa into the United States through the slave trade, and they would throw the dead bodies off the ships, because remember, 90% of them were dying in transit, either through the trail to the ships or trails on the ocean. They were put in little areas and having to lay in their own feces and urine for a month at a time, trying to get across the ocean, in which many of them would die. They would throw bodies over the ships, over the seas, and the sharks would follow the ships. They would follow the ships and eat the bodies because it was basically a feeding cycle. They were chumming the waters. And then if a slave knew that he didn't want to leave and he finally got to the ship and he jumped overboard, they would bring him back and they would cut his legs off in front of the other slaves just so nobody else would try to jump in and swim to shore. Fact. Guys, this was the slave trade, which was run through the Rothschild banking cartel and other subsidiaries of that, back all the way back before the Rothschilds even got started, all the way back to the 14, 15, 16, 1700s. You say, well, that's that ultra. Yeah, look it up. Look it up. See, this is what's going on. And so if you want to blame anybody, look at the Sabbatean Kabbalists, Luciferians, the ones who were running the slave trade even before Sabbatean Zevi was around. Look that direction and you'll see your answers. Then the same thing is true with the lions in Africa eating people, the sharks on the ships eating people. Huge. $40,000 in profit for one load of slaves making it to the colonies. $40,000 in profit in 16, 1700 money. Guys, we're talking millions of dollars in today's money for one load in pure profit. Guys, this is one of the reasons that these merchants out of England who ran the slave trade, primarily Jewish men, just thought I'd mention that just in case you guys were curious about what I was saying, became so insanely wealthy because nobody else wanted to touch this. In fact, the man who wrote the book, wrote the song Amazing Grace, was one of these guys who basically finally realized what he was doing to these human beings and these slave trade situations, and became a Christian, wrote the book, wrote the song Amazing Grace that saved a wretch like me. He's talking about what he did and his involvement in the slave trade. Guys, Christianity taught all of us to love one another equally, to do what's right in God's eyes, and to do what's right in basically humanity's eyes. All these other religions don't teach this. They don't teach this. You say, well, some of the Buddhist stuff probably does, but these guys are worshiping a dead god. We have to realize that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and that we need to look at him for our guidance and our direction. I had our prayer time this morning, and I prayed for you guys again, which I always do every day, and I just thanked God for his direction and guidance in our lives and in your lives. So, guys, I want to start off with this thing that if you get hit with white privilege, and if you're black and you're listening to the show today, guys, hey, come on now, really. Let's think about this for a second. You know, I'm sorry that these guys did this to you guys 400, 500 years ago. I mean, it's awful, okay? I'm sorry that the Germans went on a killing spree, killing a bunch of Jews and a bunch of Christians and a bunch of anything they could find to kill, you know, towards the end of the war, including their own people and their own children. I'm sorry they did all that too. But guys, none of us are responsible for what happened 100 years ago, 70 years ago, and trying to put us under a guilt trip, oh, man, that's just not cool. It's not okay. We're not responsible for the actions of our great, 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 great grandfathers or the actions of our grandfathers. It has nothing to do with us. We are held accountable in God's eyes for what we do, for what we think, for what we say. And as far as me and my home, my house, we're going to walk in love and we're going to serve the Lord. That's how I want to start the show today, Austin. Any questions, any comments, and what's your next story?
Excellent info. No, there's definitely, I've done the same thing as far as research stuff in the past, because when you start seeing a lot of this rhetoric spewed on the mainstream media, you really have to ask your question, why? Who benefits?
That's right.
Who benefits from this info being pushed day and night, 24/7, 365 on CNN? Who benefits from this rhetoric being pushed in the school systems? Who benefits from this in the long run? Because the truth is, sitting there saying that just because somebody was born a certain color, it's their fault and they have a privilege and they basically need to give everything they have to everybody else because they're a bad person. Guys, that is full-blown racist behavior.
That's right.
That's racist bigotry. You can't sit there and say, oh, well, that's that's white privilege. That's black privilege. You know, he's got black privilege because he plays basketball and he's better than me at basketball and he makes $50 million a year playing basketball. He needs to give me his money because he's got black privilege. It goes the same way, guys, if you want to run it that way. And that's what's so dumb about it. There is no privilege. We're all privileged to be Americans. We're all privileged to be human beings. We're all privileged to be made in the image of God Almighty. That's what we're privileged on. So we all have to get that, is that we can't be allowing the media to spin everything and subvert this and turn everybody against one another, because the divide and conquer strategy is alive and well in the United States. I mean, it is very clear that this is being used significantly in the media to divide the patriot community. Whether it be through race, whether it be through minor beliefs, whether it be through Zionism, whether it be through the constitutional law, whatever it is, they're using the divide and conquer strategy to break up the United States into tiny little segments of beliefs. So there is no unity. There is no, you know, bonding together as one group. I mean, the entire reason why they added the Second Amendment in there was to keep a well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of the free state. The whole point of that was having individuals in each state, in each colony, in each area that would bind together when something occurred that needed to be done, and they came together as a well-organized militia. That was the point of it. There's no way for a group of people to come together and become a well-organized group to take back or defend a certain area if the divide and conquer strategy has been implemented in the population, and that is exactly why they're doing this. Also, too, in other news, this is something that I had to do some research on because I was really troubled by it the other day. Somebody had told me that Nancy Pelosi's net worth was upwards of almost $150 million. And I said, nah, that can't be accurate. You know, I mean, she's not making that much money. So I pulled some info up on her, and she currently makes $193,000 per year, which really good money. And so I was doing some research, and sure enough, her net worth is like right under $150 million. And so it goes on to say here that basically most of her wealth coming from her involvement in politics, now stretching over her 50 years in politics, has allowed her to accrue a net worth of over $140 million. This is on networthpost.org. And I kind of scratched my head on that, because if anybody can do mathematics, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to realize even if she was making $193 million from the day she started in politics at whatever age she was at, 18, 19, 20 years old, and she continued to make that amount for 50 years and didn't pay taxes, didn't spend a dollar, didn't go out to eat, didn't go to a movie theater, and literally saved every single penny, including not paying taxes, she would have a net worth of $9.6 million right now. So the numbers didn't match up. Well, there was an article that I found from a couple days ago that I kind of tied into this that made a lot more sense. It was from illicitinfo.com. And pretty much some of the research I started doing on this, I found something very troubling, because as we're starting to see how the Democrats are getting the dollar signs in their eyes every time we see these new green deals, and they refer to it here as the green new rainbow deal, as we saw the Obama administration spent $3 trillion in stimulus money over his entire tenure in the green movement that he pushed, and how that has essentially wrapped up Nancy Pelosi. She was involved in this as well. For background, a September 2011 article from the Daily Mail, it says, even as government-financed green energy pioneer Solyndra was failing, the Obama administration approved an additional $1 billion to green projects involving Solyndra. Okay, so bear with me right here. A whopping $737 million of that money went to Salina, to the Crescent Dunes project situated in Nevada, to finance a 110-megawatt desert solar power plant. Stay with me. Nancy Pelosi's brother-in-law was previously the executive director of this company, and at the time of the loan was completed, Ron Pelosi, who's Nancy Pelosi's brother-in-law, was independent director of the parent company, who held shares of the company that was a primary beneficiary of that $737 million loan from the Department of Energy, meaning his company was the parent company that was basically collecting the main
same money that was funneling into this Green Deal for Selena. Despite knowledge that Solyndra was Minority Leader Pelosi's brother-in-law, second in command of the energy investment firm backing the project, they're still somehow secured government funding for the project. The project, in the end, was expected to generate enough electricity to power 43,000 homes. That was it. Almost a billion-dollar loan to power 43,000 homes. At the time, Florida Representative Cliff Stearns, the then chairman of the Investor Committee of the House Committee on Energy, warned. He went on to say the administration's flagship project, Solyndra, is bankrupt. It being investigated by the FBI, the promised jobs never materialized, and now the Department of Energy is preparing to rush out nearly $5 billion in loans in the final 48 hours before stimulus funds expire. That's nearly $105 million every hour that must be finalized until the deadline. Despite the energy warnings, Energy Secretary Chu said the projects would create 900 construction jobs and create 52 permanent jobs. At the end of it, basically, Selena ended up going bankrupt. The company collapsed. The money basically disappeared. And, of course, Nancy Pelosi's brother-in-law, from what we have seen, we cannot find the actual numbers, but received a considerable amount of that money and bonuses at the end of the year, the same way that GM and all the other banksters in 2008, after their bailouts, got multi-million dollar bonuses at the end of the year. So I'm starting to see a pattern here with Nancy Pelosi's father basically being in the mob, Nancy Pelosi being a career criminal in politics, Nancy Pelosi amassing a fortune of almost $150 million by being in the Congress, and now we find that her brother-in-law was basically involved in the Solyndra Green Deal scam in which they got almost $750 million grant that did not have to be paid back from the federal government under Obama's Green Deal. So why everybody likes to talk about all the Russian collusion and all the other things that are taking place, I suggest everybody follow the money trail and see where all these individuals have amassed their wealth when they've been in politics for the last 40 to 50 years, and you'll quickly find they are the globalists that we speak of, and they are the ones that are involved in the money handling, right, and they are the ones that are trying to write the law for the rest of the country because they own the money. You don't get away with $150 million net worth being in Congress. I don't care how long you're in it for. You did not amass that type of money by being in Congress, making $150,000 to $190,000 a year. Doesn't happen, guys. So as we see this, these things have to start coming forward, and that's why I bring them up on the show, because hardly anybody ever talks about this stuff. And this is why we do what we do on this show, Dad.
Career criminals. Nancy Pelosi didn't do this. Nancy Pelosi didn't do any of this. Nancy Pelosi was just the recipient of the funds of this as far as how she increased her net worth in who knows in various ways. Let me give you an example. A few years ago, we had a lot of people filing bankruptcy on their homes. And I got that. And a lot of people had taken out, you know, second line equity lines of basically loans, and they bankrupted all the loans. Now, here's what's interesting about this. Let's say if a person took $1 million of, just using round numbers, they took $1 million out, which I actually know somebody who did this, took $1 million out of basically second and third mortgages on their house. $1 million. They were given $1 million by the bank, by the loan company, which means it was a loan. There was no income tax due on it. With me so far, you don't owe any money. It's a loan. You didn't earn the money. You borrowed the money. There's no taxes due. And then they basically burnt through the cash as loans, and then filed bankruptcy on it, which means no taxes were ever due because it was never income to them. It was a loan that they defaulted on. They owed $400,000 in income tax on a $1 million loan, but they never had to pay any of it because they defaulted on it all. This is what happened with Solyndra, to make it simple. They got in hundreds of millions, if not billions of dollars in loans, had no intentions of ever developing the infrastructure. It was all about scamming the United States population from these loans, from their money, and the central banks scamming each other to get more money to the people, or basically funneling the money back to the central banks. It's so corrupt. It's mind-bogglingly corrupt is what it is. And people don't understand, unless you listen to our show or shows like this, or unless you've read and done the research on it yourself, of what these guys are. They're career criminals. This is what they do. And then remember, Obama came in, and this is interesting here, Obama came in and basically gave a lot of money to the media which is completely unconstitutional, to run counter campaigns to alternative news. Now, I'm going to read a little bit about this. The aggressive PC virtue of signaling present throughout the mainstream media basically has been paid for. The eerie uniformity of the message being put out by a wide assortment of outlets has seemed suspicious to me. This is an article by Alexander Bruce. I chalked it up to shady cash infusions from George Soros and pondered over the exact payment mechanism. Last month, in what was called a digital media bloodbath, everybody stay with me. No, I haven't heard this anywhere else. Mass layoffs at many publications were attributed to a kind of mini-dot-com bubble, where publishers had burnt through their venture capital money and were no longer able to pay their staffs. Despite BuzzFeed's reported 15% growth in revenue in 2018, they let off 15% of their writers. Founder Joanna Pieretti, P-E-R-E-T-T-I, explained, "Unfortunately, revenue growth by itself isn't enough to be successful in the long run." Now, what we're talking about is the alternative media is having to lay off, not the alternative media, the mainstream media laying off all of these digital writers that were bots and trolls is what this is. It seemed that the copious amount of millennial outrage oozing out of every media outlet had required pallets of money, and not even 15% of yearly growth could sustain. Now, here are the clues. Many of us were already aware that the Smith-Mundt Modernization Act of 2012, approved by the Gay Kenyan, gave government officials at the State Department and the Broadcasting Board of Governors the power to produce, okay, here we go, listen to this, this is propaganda from Goebbels, the power to produce and disseminate propaganda for domestic audiences at taxpayers' expenses, overturning the namesake 1948 law, which prohibited this. In other words, after World War II and what had happened to the German people, the United States Congress passed a law in 1948 and said, the heck with this garbage, we're not going to allow the state to produce propaganda to sway the public. And so it has stood until 1948, until the Gay Kenyan Obama changed the law, which allowed the Board of Governors to start disseminating propaganda and lies. Propaganda is another name for lies. Dr. Dave Janda explained this on December 23, 2016. He says, Barack Obama signed off on the 2017 NDAA, authorizing that year's U.S. military budget. And once again, buried deep inside those provisions was the companion to the Smith-Mundt Modernization Act, the Countering Foreign Propaganda and Disinformation Act, introduced by Adam King Kissinger, you know, we wonder where he's from, Republican of Illinois, and Ted Lieu, Democrat out of California, we wonder where he's from too, which has been funding this domestic propaganda. In case you haven't noticed, Russian propaganda is the new Al-Qaeda. All they have to do is to accuse someone of being a Russian agent who's disseminating Russian propaganda, like WikiLeaks, Alex Jones, or the President of the United States, and the entire machinery, which was funded by Obama through this covert campaign, through our own media structure, through free grants of this entire machinery, the military, industrial, banking, media, Rothschild, here we go, I said it again, complex, will be mobilized to deprive you of an income or to imprison you or to end your life. In other words, they're going to just haul you off and make you go away. A great way to get a beat on what they're targeting is to check out Proper Knot's Twitter feed, as they were probably funded by these acts. It could be very well that all of these kindly pundits warning us about Russia over the past 2 years, here we go, were subsidized by the budget association within this act and the mass deplatformings of different media, including the Ted Nawson Brower Show, yanked off of YouTube, was justified by them. So why? Now, the mass layoffs, because here's why they got all laid off. Because in fiscal year 2018, Trump did something extremely good. He cut the funding to the Broadcasting Board of Governors by $63 million. That's what happened. And by 2019, another $24 million. That's why the mainstream fake media is melting, because they don't have the budget being paid for, guys. Listen to this. By your tax dollars funding them any longer. This is what's going on. Now, an article from Michael Schneider. He's saying we're having an insect apocalypse. Global food chain is experiencing a major extinction event, and scientists don't even know why. I'm going to tell you why. Very simply this. They make hybrid seeds now with corn that contains insecticides in it. And the insecticides basically don't allow a bee to come and try to pollinate it without poisoning the bee and killing the bee and killing the insects. They're insecticides. They turn the bee's food source into poison. The bees don't know it's poison. They try to cross-pollinate with this stuff. They end up going back to the hive. They kill the whole hive off. That's why the bees are dying. And you add that to the Roundup being added to the food supply, you have this apocalypse in hand now that we have a 50 to 60 to 70% drop-off in the insect population, which is used for pollinating. Soon, if they have not already produced it, which some people say they've produced it already, Monsanto is going to develop crops that require, they'll all self-pollinate, requiring no insects. So if you don't grow these Monsanto crops, you can't produce a crop that will pollinate or produce a fruit. This is what they're doing, is to control the food supply, and basically, in essence, when it controls the food supply, it controls the population. This is why they're pushing these Monsanto Frankenstein seeds with these Terminator genes that cannot be replanted in all of these third world countries, in the India and the Pakistan and the Africa, everywhere. Why? Because if they do that, they can no longer produce seeds that will self-reproduce and the population can starve. This is another reason they're doing the chemtrails everywhere. This is about the food. It's about reducing the food on the general population and reducing the health of the general population by spraying who knows what on us, by cutting the sunlight out. By cutting the sunlight out, they reduce the amount of vitamin D that your body can make, which is essential for your immune system. It's all about the Jason Scholars. Again, no one else talks about the Jason Scholars that I've ever heard except for me. The Jason Scholars protocols that they gave back in the 50s, that the primary concern of the planet was to reduce the population. Now, they've pushed this for 60, 70 years now. Finally, it's catching a hold. It's like a giant tidal wave coming in across the planet now as far as population reduction. They've been so effective at reducing the white population now, they're bringing all these other countries back together, which ties directly back into the globalist scheme of a mestizo race to stop nationalism so everybody will submit and lick the boot. This is what they want. So all of this is being done to us. So it's so important that you eat organic and you don't allow this monster to do this. In fact, pesticide levels in families are through the roof. You could drop it by 60%, a new study has just shown, after just 1 week of an organic diet. Their bodies are so amazingly developed and created by God. The liver and the kidneys and lymphatic system can pull this poison back out so quickly if you just give it a chance. A new peer-reviewed study showed that eating a completely organic diet, even for just 1 week, can dramatically reduce the presence of pesticide levels in people, a finding that was characterized as groundbreaking by the critics of the industrial food system that relies heavily on synthetic toxins and chemicals to grow the crops and livestock. This was published in the Environmental Research. The study said, titled Organic Diet Intervention Significantly Reduces Urinary Pesticide Levels in the U.S. Children and Adults. Now, you can go and get that PDF online and you can read it yourself. But guys, I can't tell you, this is an all-out. Monsanto is a completely globalist corporation. It is run and owned by the Rothschild corporations. And by the way, the big JB, the Farben organization, the big thing in Germany that supposedly created all the chemicals and the fluorine gas and the sarin gas and all the stuff, and actually was broken down and created Monsanto and Bayer and all the rest of them, it was owned by the Rothschilds. It was another Rothschild front. Everything's a Rothschild front. 90% of everything that's major corporations. They buy up little corporations and little companies. They buy them up with their funny money, and they create a illusion that they don't own everything by putting Smith's name on it or Eichmann's name on it or Brewer's name on it or anybody else's name on it so they can control everything. Guys, that's why I won't sell out our company. I won't do it. I have other friends who also are in the nutrition business, and they said they're not selling out their company for one of these very reasons. Guys, you can't allow them to come in and buy the stuff that you've worked for, keep your name on it, or change it to another name. It's like I said last year. Every time you walked around the neighborhood, and every gas station was the Rothschild service station, the Rothschild 5 and 10, the Rothschild mini market. That's what we have here. The international banking cartels own all the mortgages on 90% of the properties, and they own the businesses. They own everything because they own the real estate. All they've got to do is foreclose on all of it if they want to, like they did back in the 20s and the 30s with the Great Depression in 1929, where they could intentionally contracted the M1 money supply of the money in circulation, so everybody with default couldn't make their loan payments, and then people were converting it to gold into money. And they said, well, you can't do that anymore. We're going to take all your gold. What the heck? They took the gold? Yeah, in 33, they took the gold. You guys know that. In 34, they set up the exchange stability thing, which they took over the Treasury of the United States. the Exchange Stability Fund. This is who these guys are. You can't talk about them. Why can't you talk about them? Well, it's not politically correct. They're primarily Jewish. Okay, they're not all Jews. And quite frankly, how do we know they're not the synagogue of Satan? How do we know they're not masquerading as Jews and they're not Jews? We can't pretend this stuff anymore. It's all political correctness. It's all, you can't say anything that you don't believe this or don't believe that. It's not, no, guys, we've got to say, here's what happened. It's not the Jews. Most Jews don't have any idea this is going on. Now, I'm not saying that ones who practice the Kabbalah are saved, because they're not. I'm not going to pull a John Hagee here and tell you that Jesus wasn't the Messiah. I'm not going to say any of that. It's not true. But here's the thing. We've got to understand that we have different religions. Judaism, Hinduism, Buddhism, Christianity, and a plethora of other little religions running around. Okay, we got this. And the Muslims, we've got all of this stuff, right? But we have to understand they're all different. They believe different things. We can't incorporate them all into Christianity like the Pope's trying to do right now, bringing in the Muslims into Christianity. None of this, or like Hagee's trying to do by integrating hardcore Talmudic Judaism into Christianity. They're mutually exclusive. They're bipolar opposites. They're diametrically opposed. You can't allow yourself to get any of these other religions mixed up with Christianity. It doesn't work that way. So we can't say that so-and-so is doing this stuff because they're a Muslim, or they're a Jew, or they're a Hindu, or they're a Buddhist, or they're a Christian. We can't say that. Sure we can. We can say anything we want to say. Why are they doing this? Because they're using obfuscation to cover up their Luciferian doctrine. This is what they're doing. They're using obfuscation to say, nothing to see here, move on. Oh, you can't say this. Now you're being anti-Christian, you're being anti-Semite, you're being anti-Muslim, you're being anti-Hindu. No. They're doing all of that so you don't point out the underlying factor with these groups of all different ethnic backgrounds that they're Luciferians. These Masonic leaders at the high levels that basically talk about the seething energies of Lucifer. You know, the lower level Masonic leaders have no idea what's going on because they're not involved with all of this stuff in most cases. But guys, we can't pretend that we can't talk about it, because this is back to political correctness again. This is the white privilege stuff we talked about earlier. It's all smoke and mirrors. Please read that book that we posted on our website about from that I read last Sunday. I mean, I talked about it on Monday. Please do that and realize that we all have to work together to tell the people the truth. And we and doggone it all, we've got to stop being politically correct. And you know, and this is, we got these pansy boys in the pulpit, they have got to learn how to man up and grow a set. I mean, it's ridiculous, Austin, that we've got these guys that refuse to talk about late term abortion, the sins of homosexuality, the sins of all of these groups of people that are pushing this satanic agenda on the United States and teaching little children how to be lesbians and gays at 5 and 6 and 7 years old when they're still in a theta brainwave state. Why aren't the churches? Oh, I know why. That's right. I already answered that question, didn't I? That's right. Okay. It's because of political correctness. That's why it's happening, guys, because we're not telling the truth anymore. Well, you're being rude to these special interests. You're being rude to so-and-so. I don't give a rat's butt. I don't care if I'm being rude to them. If they're doing it, call it for what it is. If a Christian's screwing up and they're out there doing a name it, claim it, blab it, grab it with their private jets, call it out. I do all the time. I'm not picking on any religion or any ethnic group. I'm saying to you, if a group of people are working in a concerted effort to screw over the rest of us, somebody needs to say something. Say, hey, I don't want to be a pie. I don't want you to do this to me. This is not okay with me, and we're going to point you out for this. And not be scared to death, Austin, that somebody's going to say, oh my God, you're a bigot. Here's a bigot. Diametrically opposed to another person's value systems. That's being a bigot. That's what the definition of a bigot is. So if right now, if I say to you, the Daily Mail just released this, and I've told you this before, that 80% of Vatican priests are gay, according to an explosive new book which claims to uncover double lives of homophobic priests who use male whores. I mean, unbelievable. 570-page expose to be released next week as the Pope holds sex abuse summits. 80%. I told you guys it was way over 50% of these guys were gay. Nobody, I got all this blowback. Oh, no, they're not. No, they're not. I'm telling you, these priests have been infiltrated back in the 60s, and they have been infiltrated, and the Catholic Church was infiltrated, and they brought all of this secret society mess in, They started running drug money for the CIA. Read the book Operation Gladio, The Unholy Alliance Between CIA, the Vatican, and the Mafia. And the entire church hierarchy is completely and totally corrupt by these gay priests who claim to be followers of Christ who sodomize little children. So there we go. Now I just hammered the Catholics, okay? Well, he hammers everybody. Well, stay tuned. Stay tuned to the Ted and Austin Brewer Show. Sooner or later, we're going to hammer somebody that you don't like us hammering either, because if we point out the truth to people and they don't like it, then all I do is say this. If you find out that I'm wrong and I've told you something that ain't correct, there's a good vernacular little ain't word, and that I ain't correct, I'll retract it on the air, which I have done several times over the years. Guys, it's so important that we understand that our enemies, not the Jews, our enemies, not general people and population, it is a synagogue of Satan, this unseen hand that has worked for generations. The same Druids, the same group of people, the sorcerers, the same group of people from Genesis chapter 6 that worship the fallen angels, that have weaved their cloth of deceit and treachery through the eons of time until our current day. That's who our battle is against. It's not against flesh and blood, but against all of these things, these principalities, these other realms that control these weak-willed individuals and allow them to continue to do what they need to do to promote their agenda. May God continue to help us to keep the strength to avoid this and to stop this. What do you think, Austin?
Absolutely, 100%. And I mean, in one way that we all have to continue to do this is by keeping our minds and our bodies healthy. That's one of the biggest problems that I have at a lot of times, especially down here in Florida with a lot of the churches that I have attended or that I visited, is that you have pastors that are talking about topics from the pulpit. And some of them are fairly accurate. Some of them actually bring topics up. But if you're sitting there at the pulpit and you're telling me how we need to stand up for this and we need to stand up for that, and you're 350 pounds and you're breathing unbelievably heavy and you look like you're about to have a heart attack standing in front of the church, I have a real problem with that, because you can't sit there and talk out of both sides of your mouth and say, we need to do this, we need to do this, we need to be prepared, we need to do this, and you can barely walk down the steps without basically going into a full, you know, heart attack. There's certain things that we have to start doing as Christians, as patriots, and one of those is taking care of our body. There's an article that came out from France, which is very interesting now. A French team discovered during a study that ultra-processed foods accelerate the risk of mortality extremely fast. According to the new research, humans face almost a 20% higher risk of early death with each 10% increase in the amount of ultra-processed foods they eat. They said eating more and more processed food, which is standard in the United States now, is a trend that is causing early death from chronic illnesses such as heart disease and cancer, but it isn't just the U.S. Several nations are beginning to suffer to the highly addictive processed foods that are detrimental to your overall health and well-being. A recent study in the United States showed that 61% of adults' total diet comes from ultra-high processed foods, which is essentially fast foods, super packaged foods, Pringles, stuff that is ultra high processed, meaning there's really not much food there anymore. You're basically eating plastic, essentially, so to speak. And then they go on to say, even in Canada, the number is 62%. And in the United Kingdom, it's 63%. Much research has also indicated that eating ultra processed foods leads to obesity, high blood pressure, and cancer. To understand the relationship between these high processed foods and the risk of earlier than expected death, the researchers enlisted the help of 44,551 French adults that were 45 years of age or older for 2 years. Their average age was 57, and around 70% of the participants were women. All provided a 24-hour dietary record every 6 months, in addition to completing questionnaires about their health, including body mass index and other measurements, physical activities, and sociodemographics. They found that ultra-high processed foods accounted for more than 14% of the weight of total food consumed and about 29% of their total calories. They also found that ultra-high processed food consumption was associated with much higher than normal BMI and very low physical activity level. Over the course of the study, 602 of the participants died in the 2 years. Once other risk factors such as smoking were taken into account, the researchers came to the determination that there is a 14% higher risk of early death for each 10% increase in the proportion of your daily diet of ultra-processed foods consumed. This is not a joke anymore, everybody. This is becoming a serious, serious problem when they're saying in the United States now 62% of the population, the bulk of their diet is ultra-high processed foods. These are designed to kill you. And I know it sounds weird. People go, oh, that's preserved. The FDA would never allow foods on the market that would kill you. Really? What about aspartame? What about monosodium glutamate? What about high fructose corn syrup, which they have now directly linked as the number one cause to non-alcoholic fatty liver disease in teenagers, is high fructose corn syrup. These compounds are not safe, in my opinion, in any dosages, period. Cut them out of your diet. The aspartame, the high fructose corn syrup, the sucralose, the monosodium glutamate, the processed foods in general. Because here's the thing. Majority of the foods that are not ultra processed don't have these ingredients in them. That's the whole aspect of it that nobody gets. When you go to the store and you buy an organic steak, it doesn't have high fructose corn syrup in it. It doesn't have aspartame in it. You go to the store and you get, you know, organic cow's milk if that's what you want to drink. Or you go and get organic butter. Or you get organic eggs. These foods don't have these compounds in them. The bulk of the foods that have them are ultra high processed because they have to put these chemicals in them to make them taste decent, to make them stay in basically without decaying for 3, 4, 5 years. I'm sure everybody has seen the video timelines where people have taken McDonald's foods, hamburgers, french fries, put them out in the open, put them outside, put them on a plate, middle of the room, and taking photos every single day, sped the photo up for a year, year and a half. Food looks almost the same. Looks like it's been sitting out on the table for the last couple hours. You just picked it up from McDonald's an hour earlier. That's what it looks like. It doesn't decay. Even the bugs and the rats and the rodents and the roaches won't eat a lot of this stuff in most cases. Especially after it sits for a couple days and all those fats start to deteriorate and they harden up, this is the ideology that people have to start getting in their brains, is that this is not something we can put in our bodies and expect any type of health outcome from it. That's why so many times we try to recommend people, you know, the Eat Clean and Be Healthy cookbook, because we do things in that book. We put that book together for years. We worked on that book to put together every recipe that I've made, that Dad made, this mom made, this Lana made, even friends have made, and put it all together in the book to try to come up with a really, really easy way to cook natural, organic, clean foods that taste really good. And these are things that everybody has to start working on, because we can run our mouths all we want, guys. We can talk about how we're going to do this, and we're going to stand up for this, and we're going to go out and we're going to resist this, and if something happens, we're going to band together. But like I said, if you walk up a flight of stairs and you're wheezing and coughing and can barely catch your breath and are lightheaded and feel like you're about to black out because you just took 15 steps, you probably need to question if you're going to have any type of effective ability to do anything other than sit on the couch in the late future. Honestly, and I don't like being this aggressive as far as on the topic, but I get really tired of people constantly coming up to me and saying, oh yeah, man, we're supporting this, we're supporting that, and they're 300, 400, 500 pounds. And I'm like, you know, thank you for the support. I appreciate the support. But look in the mirror. This is something that is not going to get better if we continue to buy into it. Remember, Monsanto, Biotech, Bayer, all these big industries, they all own these companies. But there's only like 7 or 8 big companies that own all of it, whether it's Lay's, whether it's McDonald's, all of them. They own all of them. It's a concerted effort to keep the medical industrial complex going. At the same time, keep people as sick as physically possible so they don't have the ability to do anything. Stay in shape. Even if you're just exercising 2 to 3 to 4 times a week and doing cardio, eat clean, change your diet, do the best you can to cut this stuff out. And the easiest way to do that is don't bring it home. Do not pay for it. Do not bring it home. Start reading labels. Start figuring out what you don't want to put in your body and start slowly adapting and changing what you're eating and do not bring it in the house. That way, if you don't have it in the house and you're eating clean 80 to 90% of the time, and you do go out on occasion and you go to a fast food restaurant and it's once a month, I'm not a big fan of that, but again, you just cut down the percentage of your intake of ultra high processed foods immensely, because instead of eating it four or five times a week, you've now eaten it once a month, which already is going to increase your life expectancy significantly, and then going in and adding in at least a few basic supplements like the Basic Healthy Lifestyle Kit, the Ultimate Multiple, the B, the Omega-3 fats, that keep your body loaded with the nutrients, minerals, and vitamins and fats that it needs on a daily, regular basis to stay active, to stay healthy, to stay cognitively effective, and to be able to do the best you can with your family, with work, and with assisting everybody in this fight right now. Because like Dan said, the propaganda that we're getting right now is insane. That's why the pharmaceutical company pays 70 to 80% of the media advertising for all the mainstream media outlets, including Fox. This is why they do this. The medical industrial complex is tied in with the healthcare and insurance industrial complex. It's tied in with the vaccine industrial empire. It's tied in with the pharmaceutical industrial empire. It's all tied in together in one nice, neat box. Just you have to be awake enough to see it, how it literally keeps you in a perpetual Ferris wheel up and down, up and down, up and down in the medical model to keep you sick, under treatments, with cancer, on medications, and back again to start back over, as Dad talked about yesterday with the lady that was having issues in her throat and continued to go down the medical model until they killed her. These are things we all have to understand right now, and we need to make it habitual. Eat clean, stay healthy, take your supplements, exercise, and stay frosty, Dad.
You know, it's funny, Austin, even when I eat out occasionally now, I got to deal with the blowback in my body the next day. I don't feel right.
Mm-hmm.
Not because I'm going to junk restaurants. I'm not going to McDonald's. I'm not doing that. I'm going to nice restaurants, but they're not serving me organic food, which means they're not giving me foods that aren't covered in pesticides and glyphosate. And they don't know any better. They don't know any better. They think if they're giving us good, high-quality food. The problem is it's not organic. So important we stay organic. By the way, the FDA is going berserk now, keeping CBD oil basically illegal. Now, I'm talking about non-psychoactive CBD oil. They're doing everything they can. They're censoring speech, and they're stealing nature the FDA way. The FDA is ignoring Congress and attacking an affordable supplement to protect big pharma profits, and we wonder why healthcare costs so much. Basically, the Farm Bill approved by Congress legalized hemp, which is a major step towards ensuring consumer access to affordable CBD oil supplements. Unfortunately, the FDA is still, even though against Trump, is throwing up roadblocks because CBD is now also available as a FDA-approved drug. It's the perfect case. While the healthcare industry is so expensive in this country, it goes right back to kratom. It goes right back to all these other drugs. It goes back to L-tryptophan. All these things, when they can be used, that in the same way a drug can be used, they don't want it available for you. In fact, the same CBD that you can get oil that you should be able to recently approve for sale for a real form of epilepsy costs $32,500 a year. You could probably spend less than $1,000 a year to get a really good high-quality extract. This is why they allowed this stuff to go through. The FDA is not going to turn loose of its petrochemical, pharmaceutical, industrial complex that easily. That's why so many of the people right now who are trying to get licenses and permits to grow hemp, just hemp. I'm not talking about pot. I'm talking about hemp. They can't get it done. It's all tied up with these major corporations in some states, in fact, almost all states now, to control the market, control the marketing, to continue to allow these same people that have run the world to continue now to handle this and do this. By the way, they're now developing, and I mentioned this earlier the other day, about tactical nuclear mortar rounds. You think, what the heck is that all about? Well, they're only about a fifth as powerful as the bombs dropped on Hiroshima and Nagasaki that killed 150,000 in a whack. And they found that now they can use these tactical nuclear mortar rounds in a campaign in which troops were going against troops with tactical nukes. This is bad. And then, of course, Trump's leading the way with this. And this is crazy that we're actually allowing this and we're actually promoting this. and that they're actually building these things. I'm talking about nuclear mortar rounds, you know, this a foot tall that can be launched through a mortar tube, you know, half mile, mile down the road, and nuke foreign troops or patriots, I guess you could say, if the patriots are the country they're using these things. Of course, the patriots may be considered rebels. It depends on what side they're on.
Yeah, so, exactly.
Keep praying, guys. We got to keep praying. We got to tell the truth. Guys, thank you for supporting Health Masters. You guys are awesome. Thank you for allowing me the opportunity to pray for you. And I mean that very sincerely, because you have to allow me to pray for you. You have to receive it. Thank you for being our friends. Thank you for being part of our little fireside chat every day. And we could call it the Ted and Austin Brower Show Fireside, Daily Fireside Chat if we wanted to. Because this stuff is real we're talking about. And we're not trying to play any games. We're not trying to hide behind things. We're letting you know who and what is doing this, why they're doing it, and the reason we're here to try to stand against it. I love you guys. I appreciate you. Again, thank you for getting your multiple vitamins from us. It means so much when you don't support the big box stores. And if you just get multiple vitamins from us every day, which are super every month, that are super high quality, the best you're going to get anywhere, and just support our efforts. I love you guys. Austin, I'll do the write-up, and I'll talk to you tomorrow. God bless.
Absolutely, guys. Thank you so much for the support, and thank you for all the emails and everything you send to us. Be sure to check out the front page of the website. We do finally have a organic, non-GMO beet powder crystal back in stock. We actually contracted it from a different company out of Germany. It was the cleanest, purest one we could find, as our old contractor went out of business as far as with the non-GMO beets U.S. site statewide. So we went to Germany. Found these guys over there. They send everything to the U.S. They've really entered the U.S. market last couple of years. Make a really, really good product. $26.99 a jar, 7 ounces of organic non-GMO beet powder crystals. Incredibly tasting product. In my opinion, it tastes better than the old batch that we used to contract out of Utah. So this is a really, really, really good product. It's on the webpage, on the front page. Got a significant amount of in stock because I know everybody wants this stuff. I started using it back again in my protein shakes. I absolutely love it. So for everybody, we have it back in stock. This is the one that we use personally. As you guys know, we don't put anything on our website. We don't manufacture anything. We don't carry anything from other companies, anything, unless we personally use it, test it, try it, utilize it, and approve of it. So this is the next one that we're carrying now. We will have this one stocked for a significant period of time. And just wanted to put that out there and let everybody know the organic beet juice powder is back up stock on the front page of the website at healthmasters.com. Be sure to check it out. If you need anything, email us, call us. And also, too, be sure to check out the Testo Plus sale, which is still going on right now. Our advanced testosterone booster on sale for 20% off. We love you guys. We appreciate you. You have a blessed, safe, awesome night. And a great afternoon, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow as always.